Thanks. So this is the third in a series of reports on downtown traffic in Carrboro. And just to, as a refresher on the previous two, way back in November of 2011, the board heard a presentation on just basically an overview of town goals and policies related to downtown traffic and vitality and so forth. And those were included in Vision 2020 and other adopted policy documents and studies. Through this report and the next report, which was in March of last year, the board heard about the Weaver Street reconstruction. Obviously, it was a very successful project. Weaver Street looks great now and a very stable road. There were some traffic impacts, as we expected, and so we got an idea of what those traffic impacts were. So we talked a little bit more about how average annual daily traffic in Carrboro, in downtown Carrboro specifically, has gone down since the late 90s, since the early 2000s. If you remember, there was a graph that showed pretty much at all count locations where NCDOT takes counts, traffic has gone down. So it's not a small accomplishment to be able to hold traffic volumes steady in a growing region. I think that speaks to the investment that has been made in alternative transportation in town. Some of the other information that we covered in the March report had to do with the projected trips of approved developments in downtown Carrboro and Chapel Hill, and some data on bicycle and pedestrian levels, and also information on signal timing and how it relates to, you know, pedestrian level of service. So, a couple weeks ago, there was, of course, a memo on level of service related to holding an event, specifically the Open Streets Day event coming up in April. So this report covers specifically level of service at intersections, and the methodology for analyzing this is using Synchro traffic analysis software. And it's very preliminary, it's a work in progress, but we have been able to create a model of traffic in downtown Carrboro out to 2014, assuming that all approved developments will be built. And of course, that may or may not happen, but the model gets pretty close at, you know, finding out what traffic's going to look like when those developments are built out. And we have a very modest 1% growth per year in downtown traffic due to some other developments that are not included, like in Chapel Hill. There are several caveats to this model noted in the memo in Attachment B, so I'd urge you to pay attention to those. And so we just basically took a look at five different intersections. The first, of course, being the intersection of Main Street, Franklin Street, Merritt Mill, Brewer Lane, the Silk Road, the Road to Damascus, El Camino Real. Just about every road intersects at this intersection. So we are still in the process of analyzing what the intersection level of service looks like, but there are some signs from other traffic impact analyses that we've gotten that this intersection, obviously it has very heavy traffic in the PM peak hour, and specifically approaches like the Merritt Mill approach are backed up and can sometimes be difficult to get through that intersection from there. The 300 East Main and the Green Bridge traffic impact analyses projected that the intersection as a whole would have approaches with level of service F, or the worst level of service. But there's a difference. The 300 East Main traffic impact analysis predicted that intersection would be level of service D, whereas the Green Bridge predicted it would be level of service F.
Jeff, what is that little road on Main Street coming down here?
This is Main Street. There's physically no gap here, but are you talking about this one? Yeah, there's physically no gap here. That's just the way that the model depicts it. Yeah, Jackie.
When the driveway to the parking deck comes in there, right, like where the 40 is, or in between, up a little bit further. Yeah, that parking deck's gonna, I presume, fill up. Has that been factored into this?
We haven't yet, but we will in subsequent. When we keep working on this, we will build that in.
Because that's gonna be really
significant.
That's gonna be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. And this right here is Brewer Lane. And this is, you can see that we overlaid the model on top of the actual street grid. It doesn't matter for the sake of the model that Brewer Lane is a little bit this way. You want to get the intersection volumes and signal timings right. So,
because that would have been perfect for a roundabout.
it looks better than maybe it actually
is.
Yeah,
right.
This is the main Lloyd intersection. And this is at the heart of the bottleneck of east-west traffic. And the analysis that we have so far projects either a level of service D or a level of service F for this intersection after build-out of all developments. There was a signal memo done by Main Street Properties that recommended protected lefts into the site. Which has always been the understanding with what would happen with that site driveway once Main Street Properties is built. And of course there's been past desire from separate sources for a protected left into Lloyd Street to accommodate the significant left turning traffic that you have at that intersection. So when we initially modeled this intersection in our model, it showed level of service D. But then when we simulated it in the traffic simulation software, it was not showing those protected lefts. So when we turned those protected lefts on, it showed level of service F. It showed major congestion at the intersection. And that's not due to any one development. That's due, of course, to all of the approved developments that are included in this model. But you can see right here that, you know, there's a lot of traffic, and there's over 1,000 vehicles going west at the p.m. peak hour, and there's also over 1,000 going east. So, we need to keep an eye on this intersection and find out, how it's going to work with the protected lefts once they go in.
Just to be clear, so I mean, when you say protected left, you mean like a left turn only lane or storage? Is that?
Yeah, protected. In this case, it would be a left turn arrow, without a separate left turn lane. So these two lanes right here, if you can see it, the inside lanes are through left. So what
there's no room for, I mean, basically the buildings are sort of close enough to the street that there's no room for, or the streets, the amount of land that's sort of owned by the public is narrow enough that there's not room for a separate left turn lane.
Well, the memo I referred to actually did take a look at, well, what happens if in the westbound direction you take this departure lane away and you make, for eastbound vehicles, and instead you make this a westbound left turn only lane.
Mm-hmm.
And they found that the congestion was worse because there's only one departure lane going eastbound, and that's one lane for a real lot of cars. So they said, well, let's have the left, the protected lefts, the green left arrows, but we won't change the lane configuration at all.
Just to really kind of get down to the specifics, the point being, well, there is some, there hypothetically is a way to create a left turn only lane there, but there's not room to do that without a left turn only lane would have to replace one of the through lanes.
Exactly.
Right now.
Exactly.
If that was how we were going to do it.
That's exactly right, because we all know how close the building footprints are on the north side. What they proposed what they basically modeled is a lead leg situation, and I'm going to stop here and say I'm not a traffic engineer, so some of this is a learning curve for me, but in terms of what I understand a lead leg situation is you have westbound traffic through movements get the green, and left turning movements get the green at the same time, and eastbound traffic is stopped. That green arrow disappears, and then both through directions have the green light. And then westbound traffic gets the red. Eastbound through continues to have the green, but they also get the green arrow. So the westbound protected left is the leading signal, and the eastbound protected left is the lagging signal, but both do get protected left turns. So, anytime you give more green to a certain movement, you're taking away green from another movement. And so anytime you have the protected lefts, that very heavily trafficked through movement is stopped. And another factor to point out with this intersection is that there's a longer than 60-second signal lengths for Main Street. And we do have some demand, of course, for pedestrians crossing right here. And anything over 60 seconds in signal length is generally seen as not as beneficial for pedestrians. Pedestrians are more likely to cross on the red. And I admit I did that yesterday when I was out there looking at the traffic here.
Make a note in his personnel file, please.
I'm the only one who's ever done that. So that's kind of what we want to keep an eye on this intersection, because it really is the bottleneck right there, and there's a lot of movements competing for green time. The main Weaver-Roberson intersection, the overall intersection has level of service C projected. By our analysis, level of service D projected by the signal memo that I discussed. But really, the most difficult approach is the Weaver Street approach. You don't get very long signal length for that, and yet you still have, 235 cars in the peak hour trying to turn left from Weaver onto Main. You also have some cars turning, of course, into Carmel Mall that can temporarily block that queue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, and in the westbound direction, you have queuing, of course. I think everybody's seen this personally, where the queue backs up across the railroad tracks. So, moving on to Main and Greensboro intersection, we projected that this intersection is level of service C. And that pretty much agrees with some of the other TIAs that were done, like the one for 201 North Greensboro Street. So there doesn't seem to be any major issues coming up with this intersection in terms of traffic congestion. It is, this just gives you an idea of, pedestrians and cyclists that per hour. And you get 100 to 150 here. And about 40 to 75 cyclists. That's, of course, seasonally dependent to some extent. But you have a significant amount of cyclists and pedestrians in the PM peak hour at this intersection. Especially the biggest movement for cyclists is northbound lefts. So folks coming from the Libicotton Bikeway and going down Roberson Street, turning right, and then taking a left onto Main. And then finally, the Greensboro-Weaver intersection. The 300 East Main, our analysis projected a level of service C. And I'm sorry, that's the wrong image.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Sorry about that. I can bring it. And you, in your memo, you should have the right image. But The 300 East Main traffic impact analysis projected level of service E with the northbound approach level of service F. And that's the real big story about traffic at this intersection is that the northbound approach, the traffic backs up into the Main and Greensboro intersection. The 201 North Greensboro Street traffic impact analysis projected this at level of service C after build out of that development. The 500 North Greensboro Street projected at level service D with the westbound approach, level of service E. And of course you have here even more pedestrians than the Main and Greensboro intersection. You have 150 and you have about 75 cyclists per hour. So you want to pay attention to signal timing at this intersection. If you have very long signal timing, over 60 seconds, it's not as beneficial to pedestrians, like I said. So with that, I'll end with a movie. And don't have high expectations about the graphic qualities of this movie, but. Let's see if we can get it to play here.
Cool. Maybe not.
Well, we have low expectations.
Now, here we go.
Oh, cool.
Is it a live shot?
Yeah, it's live from outer space.
Is that live?
No.
Ah. It kind of reminds me of Pong. Anybody old enough to remember Pong?
What time period is this?
Yeah.
This is PM peak hour in 2014.
2014.
Assuming the approved development build out.
Which will definitely all happen within the next 14 months. Yeah.
No question.
And believe it or not, there are pedestrians modeled in this. You can't see them. They're
what's
very small.
Blue car? Oh, it's just the blue car.
The colors. Yeah.
Yeah, blue car.
That's a Duke car leaving.
Leaving town.
Westbound.
Yeah.
Greensbound.
Yeah.
Getting to Krzyzewskiville for the game tomorrow night.
So
does the cyclists are not shown in this then?
They're not graphically simulated, but they are included in the model. This is a very traffic engineering centric model, so there's the way they look at pedestrians and cyclists are conflicting pedestrians, conflicting bikes, and bus blockages. So that's the kind of model it is. But if you know how to use it, you know how to. It does have pedestrian and bicycle level of service, so you can learn some really valuable things about.
Can you pull this back down so that we can see more of the Weaver where you were before?
Sure.
The Weaver and Main?
Yeah. So what would happen, because I know we're all entertaining this idea, is there really any potential for the future? Were we the future, I don't know, 8-10 years out for the East Weaver Street to be closed off and become, what was that, called in Asheville?
Woonerf?
Kind of a Woonerf. We need to come up with another name for Carborough, but to make that a pedestrian street, is that possible? Because looking at this simulation, it really looks possible with the number of cars. You don't see the kind of pileup.
I think it is possible. I think that these two intersections are not on the brink of complete gridlock. Even though we've all seen at times when they can get pretty backed up, but in conjunction with that, I think that makes sense in a future where vehicle travel into downtown is discouraged, or starting to look at how parking affects vehicle travel, cruising for parking. And, just doing the same things that the town has done for 30 years, which is encouraging bicycle and pedestrian travel. And I think that's certainly something that's not out of the question.
Go ahead. Yeah, Jeff, I have a question. My hometown, we have an intersection in town where it's a college town, so it's where there's a lot of traffic at peak times of the day. And there are crosswalks that kind of go across the street, you know, like catty corner, you know, not
diagonal.
Do you know what I mean? Like diagonal cross.
Mm-hmm.
Is there a rhyme or a reason to when and how, when those are used, or are you familiar with them, or?
I've experienced them. I'm sure there is kind of criteria for when they are advisable. Usually seeing them at intersections with very high volumes of pedestrians, like in New York City. I've seen them in Denver, mm-hmm. and obviously you've seen them in your hometown. Mm-hmm. So very high volumes of pedestrians. But I'd have to look into what the specific criteria are.
There
probably wouldn't approach it, I guess, even as busy as
yeah.
it's probably something more like a college.
Well, there is actually such an, it's not marked on the pavement, but there is such an intersection in Chapel Hill at Cameron and mm-hmm. Columbia,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
where mm-hmm. when basically when the pedestrian signal indicates crossing, all four directions are stopped completely, and so people can, the pedestrians can move anywhere in that, including diagonally across the intersection. Not too many people do the diagonal direction across it, but it is possible.
They do it, yeah.
most of the people who cross diagonally there do it when the light is not with
that's
them.
Right. That's right. They don't know they're allowed to.
but there is that, and it is. I mean, it is set up. I guess what I'm trying to say is the light timing is set up to allow for that, even though there's no particular indication.
Is it where one of them is one way?
Yeah.
That is key to it all. Is that one
exactly. front of the Carolina?
I'm thinking of in my hometown. Actually, one of the roads is one way.
No,
Columbia.
Yeah,
is one
Columbia
way.
Is the South Columbia is right. coming into that intersection is one way. But again, you know, it's sort of right at that point where the campus meets the various fraternities, and so
right.
it's and also what do you call it over there?
Carolina Inn,
mm-hmm. the Carolina Inn, and Granville Towers,
mm-hmm.
and all of that pedestrian traffic. I mean, there's an extremely high pedestrian traffic mm-hmm. situation there.
Jeff, how does 300 East Main when built out affect the southern portion of Lloyd? Because I don't recall that that's going to be open to traffic there.
This
yeah.
one right here?
Yeah, that piece.
Yeah, they have in their most recent memo, they have a level of service D projected for their own site driveway. So this would be, as I understand it, a left turn and a through right going out, and then a one lane going in, and with a level of
yeah,
service D.
One lane going
yeah.
And in this model, is it what is the level of service?
Let me think here. That's a good question. I think it's D or possibly E.
Go ahead.
Is there ever any standard kind of correlation between level of service at a peak hour, which is what we're doing level of service at, and just versus the rest of the day? Is there any kind of, I guess, an F often a D rest of the day, or is a D often a B rest of the day, or does it vary, or is there any standard? Or
yeah, the relationship with the PM peak hour is that it's the worst. We didn't look at AM peak hour because AM peak has lower volumes, even in some cases than the midday peak in this area. So PM peak is the worst. You know, you go out there at other times, and even on certain times in the evening, like I was out there yesterday looking at intersections, and some of the intersections had, you know, not too much traffic at them. But in general, the PM is the worst of the worst, and I think it's usually you get 10 to perhaps 20, very rough ballpark percent of all traffic for the day at an intersection occurs during the peak hours, the AM and PM peak hours.
So if I may, a couple of things. One is that I think by necessity, none of this takes into account the possibility that the cost of driving a car may go up, or perhaps I should say the reality that the cost of the driving a car will go up in the future. Obviously, we don't know whether we don't know what the whole the next, you know, 2 years may year or two may hold as far as the cost of driving. But of course, at any point we could have the kind of experience we had 8 years ago, where the cost of gasoline basically doubled overnight. So all of it has to be taken with a huge grain of salt, in the sense that the assumption is that the price of gasoline is sort of only incrementally increasing across the time period you're studying. True.
Yeah, it's true. There's nothing in this software that lets you plug in
that takes that into account. And I just point that out by way of saying that's just a factor that, you know, we can't really plan for, because none of us really have much of an idea of what kind of changes could happen. But we'll note that within the last decade, major changes have happened that way. So there could well be major changes again off in the future. Looking over at the intersection of where all the roads come together at Main and Franklin and Merritt Mill and Brewer Lane for a second, I recall that intersection is one that DOT has particularly taken an interest in the past, and it rated high, I think, I recall a few years ago in the TCC's analysis, or in other words, the local staff's analysis of where problematic traffic patterns are happening as far as the need for intersection improvements there. Is that still, I mean, that's still basically the conclusion you're drawing, or?
Yeah, I think that this is certainly one to keep an eye on, especially certain approaches like the Merritt Mill approach, and also, as Jackie pointed out, the upstream effect of you know, vehicles, now much more vehicles waiting here to turn left into Boyd Street, the realigned Boyd Street. So,
and for that matter, vehicles turning right out of Boyd Street, coming onto Main Street too.
Correct, yeah. And then, you know, you have Greenbridge right here, you have Shortbread Lofts going in, you had the University Square redevelopment approved last night down on Franklin Street. So you have some other approved developments that, like all developments, will inevitably add some traffic to the roadways.
It's maybe also, I guess, I'm not aware of any sort of specific plans at this point, but it's pretty clear that St. Paul's AME Church is planning on moving off of Merritt Mill Road up to Rogers Road at some point, probably not in the study period that you're looking at, but at some point St. Paul's is planning to move to Rogers Road, and they are at some level, I mean, their plan is to sell the existing church building there, and none of us have any, at this point, any idea of what might replace the church, but almost any other land use besides the church would have a potentially significant new impact on that intersection. So just to say that I think is going to continue to be the problem is just going to get worse. Whatever the scope of the problem is, it's going to be worse in the future. So, and it happens to be right at, and we've talked a time or two, this board has talked a time or two about this issue before, but that is right, you know, our border is the the green, on the ground it's yellow, but on the map it's green, line down the middle of Merritt Mill Road. So one side of the intersection is in Chapel Hill and the other side is in Carborough. And it does, I feel like we need to at some point get together with our friends in Chapel Hill, or even people we're not friends with in Chapel Hill, to discuss what the future may hold for that intersection. I guess my real point is, I think it would be better for Chapel Hill and Carborough to have a shared vision for what to do at that intersection rather than letting DOT come up with a plan and having our two towns kind of respond to DOT's ideas.
Have we done that in the past? Have we had any kind of working group to start to address it?
We haven't really. There's been sort of low-level discussion here at our board about the need to have such discussions. I've talked with the current mayor of Chapel Hill and the previous mayor of Chapel Hill about the fact that at some point we need to get together on this, but you know, it seems to me in a way it's tempting to say, well, we should literally meet with the Chapel Hill Town Council about this, which is something we haven't done in, I don't know,
ever.
We haven't done in at least 22 years, according to Jackie. But I really think actually more to the point would be to have property owners and so forth, the stakeholders in the intersection to get together and kind of talk amongst mm-hmm. themselves first and potentially follow it up with some kind of joint meeting. Sammy.
Somewhat related is the opportunity to speak with Chapel Hill, and actually the approval of the development last night, I hope, still allows for it, but the white paper on extending light rail from the hospital to Carborough, I know they're planning to have a road going through that property, but I also know that it was a 20-year agreement, and I'm not sure if they included the possibility of light rail. And so if staff could check into that and get back to us on the viability of that. So, but it also brings up the point in this model, I don't know if this is the right time, but to be looking at what a light rail would signify for the projections and numbers, because as I understand it, the light rail would be coming down Franklin Street and then down Main and then go past Lloyd and somehow get on the rail line there.
And I think it's a such a long-term project that, or not such a long-term project, but it's significantly long-term enough that we're not sure of what the alignment, what that would take.
Right.
It's very conceptual at this point.
Okay. But nevertheless, it's made the sort of the leaving open the potential for a connection through there may be relevant to what happens at this intersection.
Yes.
So the roundabout, but also
or whatever it might be.
So a conversation with Chapel Hill to make sure that they keep those, that if it hasn't been precluded already.
Okay, so I have a question. So this is projecting forward to the build-outs of projects that may be approved or have already been approved. And so, for example, just this intersection, in the last 10 years, has it gotten more congested? Because we're talking about cars being more expensive to drive and people using alternative transportation, and was it an F 10 years ago or a D 10 years ago, or is it the same level of service now? I'm just wondering the impact of those.
I can answer that if I may check the table in the traffic study that we did in 2005, which I have right here.
Okay, it'd just be helpful to have context of the impact of this.
Well, while you're looking at that, we'll come back to that in a second. While you're looking at that, did you have a?
I did. I don't know if Jeff can scroll.
I know.
No, probably not.
I'm ready with that, but I'm ready to answer your question too.
Are you ready with Michelle's?
Either way.
Sure. Finish Michelle's then.
So it looks like from our 2000 and is our 2005 study. If you all recall that this was done, and it took a look at all downtown intersections, and it found that interestingly, the midday peak at that Franklin Merritt Mill intersection was F, level of service F. So, you know, lots of people, there must have been a huge demand for Crook's Corner that day. but it found that was
back when they were open for lunch.
Yeah. it found that in the AM level of service B and in the PM D. So in the PM, you can see it kind of on the cusp of being congested, but it is kind of interesting how, I'm sorry if this is small. This should be. You can see right here, midday F, PM D, and that's 2003, 2004 traffic volumes.
And now it's F and D. What is it now again?
Well, we haven't finished the analysis for this. So I don't think I have right in front of me like 2013 existing conditions level of service, but that's something that I could find out and get back to you.
But the projection for your study is F.
Projection we haven't finished the projection, our own projection, but in the Greenbridge TIA it projected F, and the 300 East Main TIA it projected D.
So it's getting worse.
And
worse.
I think that's safe to say.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not surprisingly. Okay, Lydia, and then Sammy, and then me.
Yeah, I want to ask or make the point that Sammy talking about the light rail is of course looking years ahead also, but we hope to see some increased bus ridership and bus routes, perhaps even Triangle Transit coming further into Carborough with the passage of the transit tax. So we may see some more transit. And also, Jeff, the UNC bicycle connector, this isn't obviously automobiles, but those high numbers of bicycles, we might see that some of them are able to use the connector and that perhaps would be sometime in the next several years, right?
Correct.
Those were just two other points I wanted to make with regard to all this traffic at these different intersections. But with regard to Mark's observation about the intersection at Merritt Mill Road and Brewer Lane, and you know, I think in light of our the hotel coming in, East Main growing, Greenbridge, University Square, East Franklin or West Franklin, you know, it probably wouldn't be a bad idea for us to maybe make some kind of a motion suggesting that staff formally kind of start some procedure of getting together with Chapel Hill staff to set up some type of a way of getting community input, getting stakeholder input, and particularly because it'll be two jurisdictions kind of working on a solution to that intersection at some point.
That's my thought, yeah.
Okay. Well, sure. And then I'll put that in the form of a motion.
Okay. Well,
actually, we could just add that to attachment A.
Or add it as a...
Yeah.
Okay, well, let me hear from Sammy and then...
It's not necessarily covered in what the study has looked at, but I just heard from a member of our community who pointed out the Liva Cotton intersection with a stoplight. It has a stop sign for the bikers, but sometimes it's green for cars, and he felt it was very unsafe and just something to look at.
Which intersection was?
The bikeway at Merritt Mill intersection with the road. Mm-hmm.
Merritt Mill and Cameron.
Merritt Mill, Cameron.
Oh, right. Cameron, Merritt Mill, and the bike lane, yeah, mm-hmm. Okay.
So, I mean, maybe a signal for the bikes it has to be looked at. And then today I noticed coming in from Estes onto Weaver Street, because Estes is so narrow and Weaver Street has two turn lanes, there's a backup on Estes while... Weaver Street is pretty...
North Greensboro, you mean.
Yeah. North Greensboro, yeah. North Greensboro is pretty open. And so there may be something to look at there with a signal timing to mitigate that. So a lot of the cars will back up, and then the trigger or the weight or whatever it is doesn't get... It appears like there aren't any cars, and the signal starts over again. And meanwhile, on North Greensboro Street, it's not backed up.
Yeah. Take a look at that.
Okay, so I want to, like Sammy, I want to address one last sort of microscale issue about all this, which is like many parents in Carrboro, my kids go to the United Taekwondo Academy there on Brewer Lane, and so I experienced this intersection from the Brewer Lane perspective with frequency, once or twice a day at least, and I just want to point out that routinely what happens is that when you're waiting on Brewer Lane to turn onto either Franklin or Main Street or even Merritt Mill Road, that the light cycle, first of all, favors Franklin Street, then Merritt Mill Road, and then Brewer Lane. And when the light turns green for Brewer Lane, indicating that the people on Brewer can turn on onto any of those streets, that it is typical, especially around the PM peak, that if one were to actually drive out into the intersection as soon as that light turns green, that you would run into a car that was basically running the yellow or red light on Merritt Mill. Mm-hmm. And, you know, to the point where if you pull out of there any time between 4:30 in the afternoon and 6:30 in the evening, it is guaranteed that were you to simply pay attention to the green light for Brewer Lane, you would immediately run into a car making the kind of extended left turn there onto Main Street. So, you know, and I mean, maybe that's an enforcement issue. Maybe it's just a fact of life for people on Brewer Lane that needs to be accepted. But it seems to me that it's very possible that there's something wrong with the light timing there.
Right.
That really the people on Merritt Mill are not getting an adequate light cycle to make their left turn onto Main Street in the PM peak. And so I would like you to ask Chapel Hill Engineering to take a closer look at that situation there to determine. I swear to you, if I made a video, it would be dramatic. Every cycle of that light, there are, you know, there's at least one, if not two or three cars that are running the red to make that turn from
Merritt Mill
northbound on Merritt Mill, left on to westbound on Main Street, where those of us sitting on Brewer Lane are looking at a green light. This isn't about serving the needs of the of the people whose kids go to Taekwondo, but rather about just saying that there seems like there's something wrong with the way that the light timing is happening, because people are sort of the Soviets should say they're voting with their feet. They're voting with their accelerator pedal about what that light timing really should be.
And if you are walking in that area, it is really scary.
Yeah, forget it. Yeah. I mean, it is mm-hmm. extremely ambiguous mm-hmm. for pedestrians. There's not crosswalks, adequate crosswalks marked at all, and part of that has to do with traffic engineering standards and all that, and I understand that, but I'm just saying it's not a good situation the way that light is timed right now, it seems to me. So
it's not timed for a wide enough turn from Merritt Mill.
That is part of it. That intersection is very wide, and so making the left turn from Merritt Mill onto Main takes longer than one might expect. Mm-hmm. Anyway, all of it is just to say I don't want to prescribe a solution, because I don't know what that solution is, but it seems to me there's something wrong with the way that the lights are timed right now.
Mark, this one does relate to the downtown. They're going east on Main Street at the intersection of kind of Rosemary across from Jesse's Coffee. That signal is kind of not needed unless a pedestrian's wanting to cross. So if you could, or I don't know if you've looked into it, but if there's a way to make it triggered by pedestrians so that it doesn't turn red unnecessarily, that could alleviate some of the traffic there, perhaps.
So in other words, the eastbound traffic is that wants to continue an indirect right onto Main Street is stopped, even though there's no conflict. Right. Obviously,
and that's
no
fairly recent, actually. Last 5-6 years.
6 years, yeah, something like that. It. My recollection is that our previous staff person in your position looked into that issue once before, but it does still seem like it doesn't make that much sense the way it works right now.
Yeah, there used to be an electronic message board that said no turn on red. Now there's a static sign that says no turn on red.
But
and then the signal
it's not just
red.
That, it's yeah. that it's that you it's that if you're heading from Main Street onto Franklin, you sometimes wind up being stopped even though there are no pedestrians you're trying to cross and even though there's no motor vehicle traffic that you would conflict with. Mm-hmm. And my recollection is DOT kind of looked at that issue a while back and their conclusion, actually my recollection is that at some point in the past, it worked differently. And DOT concluded that DOT's theory was that based on their projections that it should be changed to the way it is now. And I think what we're asking is, could we ask DOT to take another look at that question? Because it doesn't make very much sense the way it worked. Yeah.
I could do that.
Okay. I think the motion effectively, well, would you like to state your motion?
Well, yeah, I mean, I'll move attachment A, resolution receiving the report on downtown traffic conditions, along with my comment that we ask the staff establish some kind of communication with Chapel Hill and perhaps consider getting together some type of a group working with stakeholders to kind of map out what might happen with the intersection of Merritt Mill and Brewer Lane. And additionally, I guess these other comments that you all have said, if you want to make that a part of this or not, they seemed more.
I think they're so specific and kind of immediate that the staff can probably just look at that.
I want to make sure that the conversation brings into consideration the driveway to the new parking deck, because if it doesn't, then it's a waste of time.
Misses a key issue. So, okay. So it's been moved that we receive the report pursuant to the printed resolution, and that we also, if I may characterize it, that we approach the town of Chapel Hill about convening some sort of stakeholder meeting at that intersection to discuss at and near that intersection to discuss what kinds of changes to the intersection might be desirable or people might be interested in order to try and deal with some of the problems there.
Second.
All right, it's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, the matter passes unanimously.
Thank you.
Thanks, Jeff.
Yep.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Movie, too.
Yeah, thanks.
All right. Jeff may not be a traffic engineer, but I think he did go to NC State. No, he didn't go to NC State.
Yeah.
Close enough. All right. I was going to give him some props, but he said he didn't go there. So there you go.
Carolina.
Went to Carolina. All right. Well, so then he's... Jeff, you are suitably shamed so far as basketball is concerned. that brings us to item B2, a response to request for information on tree replacement requirements.
Okay, Mr. Mayor, Tina is going to make the staff report.
Okay.